My name is Patricia Kathleen, and this podcast series will contain interviews I conduct with female and female-identified entrepreneurs, founders, co-founders, business owners, and industry gurus. These podcasts speak with women and women-identified individuals across all industries in order to shed light for those just getting into the entrepreneurial game, as well as those deeply embedded within it. Histories, current companies, and lessons learned are explored in the conversations I have with these insightful and talented powerhouses. The series is designed to investigate a female and female-identified perspective in what has largely been a male-dominated industry in the USA to date. I look forward to contributing to the national dialogue about the long overdue change of women in American business arenas, and in particular, entrepreneurial roles. You can contact me via my media company website, wild.agency, that's wilde.agency, or my personal website, patriciakathleen.com. Thanks for listening. Now let's start the conversation. Hi, everyone, and welcome back. This is your host, Patricia, and today I'm sitting down and with an interview with Jessica Bell. Jessica is founder and CEO at ReVessel, and it's a company that is committed to human and environmental health. I had the opportunity to meet with Jessica at San Diego's Women's Venture Summit, where she was debuting ReVessel's product and educating attendees about the issues it was designed to address. I'm looking forward to diving into both of her company and her products, and as well as the key issues that it seeks to address. So welcome, Jessica.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So for everyone listening, I will first read a bio on Jessica, and then I'll do a brief bio of a roadmap of the podcast structure. For any of you that appreciate an outline or would like to refer back to this podcast and a specific portion of it. So a quick bio on Jessica. For Jessica, change begins within, both as an individual and a leader of organization. She is devoted to changing the course of human and environmental health by using business as the force for good. Through witnessing others close to her and her own health journey, Jessica discovered that human and environmental health is far from a priority in our current industrialized system. Having recovered from an incurable autoimmune disease, she believes that it is more convenient to recover health and maintain it than to accept illness resulting from food, lifestyle, and ubiquitous environmental toxins. Her study of food systems and environmental toxicity exposed food as a common denominator in both the disease and climate and pollution epidemics. Jessica is crazy passionate about optimal health and laser-focused on shifting the course for a healthy next generation, 46% already facing chronic disease. This takes her from business development into daily lives of children developing curriculum and executing school garden workshops focused on regeneration and interdependence in a larger system. Jessica is a member of the Conscious Capital Movement. Jessica is a member of the Conscious Capitalism Movement, a graduate from Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo, with a background in marketing, product development, and project management, and a mother of two nutrient-dense boys trailblazing the way for their peers to lead a healthy life. So that's so fantastic. I love that bio, and we'll get into some of like the key factors and the impetuses and the climate changes that your company and your product endeavor to really examine. Jessica, I'm excited to talk about that. I want to drop into a quick bio on ReVessel itself so that everyone has a really good handle about the company that we're going to be talking about today. ReVessel is a consumer goods brand advancing food storage to solve human and environmental health changes. The Adventure Kit is the latest in leak-proof stainless steel modular innovation to hit food storage industry with the most durable, non-toxic, multi-talented approach to safely prepping, storing, and packing food all in one and taking it wherever you go. Smarter products are designed for efficiency, organization, and to last. They add functionality to the kitchen and freedom to your lifestyle. And I think that that's actually a really good synopsis of what I personally looked at when I met with you at the Women's Venture Summit and kind of saw your product. A brief roadmap for everyone listening of today's podcast. We're going to touch on Jessica's academic background and early professional life. Then we're going to drop straight into Revessel and kind of unearth everything about it, the what, when, where, why, and who is involved. Get into funding and things of that nature that matter in startups. Then we're going to Jessica's goals that she has for Revessel and herself, maybe future endeavors over the next 3 years. We'll wrap everything up with advice that Jessica has for those who are looking to do what she does, mirror some of her success, and also just get involved. So Jessica, will you drop us straight into your academic life and professional life following that?
Well, in academics, so I studied at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, and I studied in natural resources management. It was under the College of Agriculture. And as I was recently reflecting on this, that I was actually studying a lot of the stuff that I now am finding that I'm needing. However, I think that the education wasn't geared toward really understanding the implications of destruction to natural resources. It was more about learning what existed and kind of how to enjoy what existed. So when we talk about recreation, we're talking about parks, and you know, I was learning about park date openings, and I discovered early on in my college education that I wasn't being prepared for the real world. And I learned that through exploring, getting out of the college campus and going and doing a few internships. I went to the East Coast, did a few resort management internships, spent some time up in the New England area for a few months studying hotel management, and came back to my, you know, my college education, recognizing that I was not being prepared for any business or marketing. So I sort of tailored my my concentration toward business and toward marketing and toward, you know, really understanding how I was going to develop a business plan if I really wanted to, if that's where I was going. I graduated, and that took me into my first job working in product development.
Okay. And then how long until Revessel came along? And can you give us like a little bit of the background as to what brought about its inception?
Sure. Yeah. Revessel's new. So we're still green in the world of green products and manufacturing. Again, my background is not in manufacturing. And so there has been a complete, crazy trajectory to learning supply chain, logistics, freight, product development from a consumer goods standpoint. So Revessel was born, the idea was born in 2017, in April 2017. And then finally in October of 2017, we set out to really take the project seriously, committed full-time, two full-time employees back in 2017. And ultimately we launched our brand first. We really wanted to establish who we were as a brand before we introduced the products. Really understanding what products we wanted to introduce and how they were going to address the need. And so, here we are in 2019 with our first products being shipped out in just a few weeks.
And did the idea for it come about through kind of your study towards the environment and health? Did you think like, I want a product that's actually aiding this in an aggressive way? Or was it based on a product that you were already using and thought you could improve on? How was the birth of that idea?
Yeah, I'd say it was a combination of all. It was the recognition that I wanted to change my lifestyle and my behaviors and adapt to the changing needs of our environment, of the health of our community. And it was very challenging. It was really challenging to do. And it left me feeling, that I was disadvantaged, that I couldn't spend as much time with other people because I was either stuck to a kitchen or, clanking around this heavy material, So there were, it was really twofold. It was, I was preparing a lot of meals for my community and serving them in glassware. And that just really was not a, a practical way to serve those meals. So I was serving for about 6 months, 10 different community members, their family meals throughout the week. That was one side of it. And then seeing the other side where I was the one carrying the meals and taking them to hockey tournaments and on our long travels. And there really was no practical way to not depend on convenience food when I was out and about, and to safely carry the food that I actually wanted to have so that I would know the ingredients, so that I would know that it wasn't being contaminated. And so I wasn't compromising my values as well with disposables and constantly throwing stuff away. So it was really kind of those three legs that transitioned into, wait, there's a big gap here. There's people that want to live healthy that either have to compromise their health or the environment. So we wanted to address both without compromise, making it easier to do so.
Absolutely. And in like reaching into this, you know, the inception of it and the values behind it, can you describe the product? I know I did a little bit in the intro, but because we're doing a podcast version, we don't really have the visual impact. Can you describe what ReVessels products are?
Sure. We're designing products for the future. We've looked at what's existed for so long with, plastic Tupperware and plastic baggies and this unconscious consuming of raw materials and resources that come from the earth. And we're at a tipping point where we need to look at how our behaviors are affecting our health and how they're affecting other species and how they're affecting our planet. And so, you know, when we developed this product, we had, you know, the laundry list of all of the things that it had to do. And materials, you know, it came down to how do we have healthy food without contaminants from the materials that we're using, but also using materials that are durable and long lasting. So we first developed a system. I'll call it a system because it really is one integrated system. Every product that we have on the horizon is an integral part of that entire family of ReVessel products. So our first one that we've introduced, I think our prototypes came in June of last year, and we announced it to the public toward the end of 2018, is what's called the Adventure Kit. And it's really because we want people to get past, we want to enable people and empower people to get past the, I have to work so much harder to be eco-conscious, and I have to work so much harder to be healthy. We want them to get past that and then be out exploring and pursuing their passion. So this Adventure Kit is comprised of 13 components, and it's really three systems in one. It's your food storage, so you're, you know, replacing the Tupperware, the antiquated Tupperware. It's your bakeware. So it's really, you know, five pieces of bakeware that you can use both in the oven or a toaster oven to reheat it at the office. Or, you know, when you go camping, you can actually put it on a cooktop, and it's so versatile. So then the most seductive aspect or system that it includes is a bento style lunchbox. And that in and of itself is really the feature or the set of features that kind of takes food storage to the next level, where you have the ability to change what you eat every day because you have this modular system. You can take components out, you can put them back in, you can switch up the shape or the internal containers based on your preferences for that day. You know, these are designed for a changing world, but they're also designed for how you change from day to day. You know, I don't wake up and say, I want the exact same thing that I ate yesterday. It's going to be in the exact same shape. And, you know, so we wanted people to be able to say, you know what, I need to get more greens in. I need to have a big 8-cup salad. I'm going to have a big salad today. Or I'm just packing a picnic for my family, so we're going to be able to go to, you know, the park and spend 2 hours at the park. And I don't know if you're anything like me or you remember this, but you know, when my kids were little and I would, or smaller, I should say younger, and I would take them to the park, I'd feed them, we'd load up in the car, we'd get to the park, and within 3 minutes of being there, they were immediately hungry. And sure. So I'd have to either, you know, which I'm known for my chopping skills, so I would always have food on hand, but so many people that I would be with would look to what's around, what's nearby, whether it's a grocery store or some sort of convenience store or fast food store. And that's what they would rely on. So you know, the ability to have that change on a day-to-day basis, to have that versatility and what function it needs to adapt to, but then also for a changing world. So we joke, we have a lot of jokes internally that, you know, we're containers for, and this isn't a joke, but there's a lot of like food storage jokes around like, you know, how about some food for thought, or, you know, containers for change, yeah. Little puns here and there, but really these are to help, individuals align their beliefs with their actions and close that gap.
Right. And I will say, from a consumer standpoint, just to describe it to listeners out there, the bento style, for anyone who isn't familiar, I'm sure everybody is, but to go back to the more naivete, it is a metal-based platform. And the cooler thing about it, having been in the industry of taking food with me everywhere I go for the past 30 years, is that when people actually in the market in the United States started to acquire the bento box, they did this built-in system. So the grid is actually just these walls that separate the food. And that doesn't allow for, as you were saying earlier, for, you know, creating new spaces or a different geography within that space. But your box has this ability to put other smaller and different size boxes within it. And so it becomes this very useful, in my mind, this useful, like, you know, you can just grab enough for baby cereal. You could grab enough for an entire lunch within it. It just becomes these separate things that actually fit into one another. And I want to get into... I was most taken, I don't know if this is just a one-off or whatever, but the top of it is a cutting board, which I do a ton of picnics, and I think I'm a lifelong picnicker. I picked it up from my parents. We do a lot of European style picnics with, you know, cheese and bread and things like that. And it's always an extra cutting board in the bag. And this is this that kind of, they have the backpackers wine carrying picnic, which fits a cutting board in there because it's such a necessary thing for those who picnic, and your top is built. And I thought, that's just the most creative thing I've ever seen. And it's so ingenious when you see little things like that, in addition to the components that can be moved around. What is the material made of?
Yeah, so we have several different materials, and each of the materials went through a rigorous process of deciding what is going to be the most preferred material for both human and environmental sustainability and longevity. And so our bases are all 304 18/8 stainless steel. That allows them to be impermeable, non-corrosive, allows you to really put them through the, you know, put them to the test in any environment, whether you're camping or hiking or off to the beach or kids are taking them to school. The bamboo is what we use to manufacture the lid. Mm-hmm. And that is part of our leak-proof lid conversion. That's our patent-pending system that allows you to move the internal containers around wherever you want, whether you use one or six. You can have them in any position and maintain that leak-proof seal, so you're not going to have the transfer of liquids and juices to whatever other components or ingredients are contained inside. And then we have a food grade silicone. So it's basically like flexi glass. So another preferred material for food contact, which is one of our philosophies, one of our many philosophies around, you know, designing products using materials for the future, is that no food should come into contact with plastic. So we want to make sure that those endocrine disrupting chemicals, whether BPA free or not, most 90%+ are still testing positive for endocrine disruption activity. Mm-hmm. So we really want to get those chemicals out of our food system and alleviate the contaminants that undermine health and get them out.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I like the drive. I know that you have a personal story and connection to chronic health. And I believe that the majority of the population, and particularly the audience, is going to have a very serious connection with that, be it through allergens or chronic disease. You know, people are starting to really look towards food, as you stated in a lot of your bio, as well as food carriage systems. You know, there's a couple of different universes of thought there. And I think that really looking at this from a holistic standpoint, you know, it's changing one's life. It's getting into like actual health, and you're coming at the allowing the body in its healthful state to solve its problems, and returning to solutions that plug that into just returning to a state of homeostasis. I know is on a health trend. You know, the fasting universe alone has talked about returning the body back to a form of homeostasis because it's built to help itself. And I feel like your connection with this food carriage system is on that journey as well. It's returning all of us back to that like non-chemical moment. I'm really interested. First of all, I glazed over. I neglected to ask, is there a website that you guys have where people can come and explore the product?
Yeah, absolutely. Our website is revessel.com.
Perfect. And then if someone wants to purchase, do they go directly through the website, or are there a few avenues to do that? You're going to market, you said, soon here.
We are. We have our first product that we'll be shipping out to our pre-order customers. So we are still in what we're calling our pre-order period. Ultimately, that means that our inventory, our full stock has not arrived. We are in production, which is super exciting. So we're coming up on a lot of firsts where, you know, every day is a new opportunity to celebrate that this is the first time that we are experiencing that. Like your child's first birthday. It's like, wow, this is going to be the one and only time we have our first birthday. So we celebrate a lot of firsts around here.
Nice.
So yeah, folks can find us at certain events. We show up at a lot of our partners' events. Surf Rider has an event coming up here in San Diego called Paddle Around the Pier. We'll be there interacting with customers. We attend a lot of the environmental health symposiums or, plastic and microplastic symposiums that are deepening our knowledge of the real issue and keeping us connected to how we can be a of service in solving these issues. There was one thing that you read in my bio that was in quotes, but the disease that I faced several years ago was what I was told was incurable. And I think most people are being told that there is no cure. And it was at the point when I received the first diagnosis that I was given my first set of prescription orders to go fill. And it was at that point that I recognized that that was not the path that I was going to take. So if I would have taken that path, there would have been probably 10 to 12 different prescription meds that I would have been on. But as you alluded to, there was a deeper connection with how the body is meant to heal. And that's in creating conditions. So we ultimately want to create the conditions to alleviate the burden on the body. And use food to refill that that the missing links to optimal health.
Yeah, let food be thy medicine, right? I think that it's not just a wave anymore or a fad. I felt like a few years ago when I was getting into this idea of getting out of my body's way and letting it do what it needed to do. You know, this kind of not anti-pharmaceutical, I mean, we'd be dead without penicillin, but I believe that we've just gotten too quickly motivated by intervening. And I don't think the medical industry is to blame. I think they answered a calling. You know, people wanted a pill and they created pills. I think that there's things of that nature, but I also think it drove creativity out the door, and creative thought leads to all of these kinds of meshings between like what we can do with everything we're given, and people stopped realizing that food was one of those components. And the storage systems, you know, and what we put in those storage systems. I always tell people, I was a young child in the 80s, and it wasn't just that we had margarine, it was that it was in plastic leaching into that margarine. It was like 40-fold over just the horrible polysaturated nasty things that we were eating. It was also the containers that came in. And so it's like unfolding that and unpacking that and solving that on a molecular level, I truly believe comes at, you know, storage systems and the food and things like that. And so I think that Revessel is incredibly not avant-garde, I think it's on the wave of something that is currently getting ready to just unfold in front of us. And I'm excited to see where it goes. I want to touch on funding really briefly. Did you bootstrap in the beginning? Did you take seed capital? Did you take VC money? Are you thinking about doing it? Where are you at with that?
Yeah, we've been sweating and bootstrapping for 2 years. And, you know, back in May, we were wondering how we were going to survive another day. And through, you know, just digging into resources and getting creative and really looking at what is critical and what is not, and, you know, getting down to the essence of what we needed to accomplish and how we were going to get there. We've survived to this point, and it's an exciting time to be switching funding sources. We have a new product that we're launching on Kickstarter. And so another really just amazing platform and amazing opportunity that we have here and now for companies like us that are still 100% funded to go out and say, hey, this is our art, this is our creativity, this is something we want to share with you. We designed it for you. You guys are our early adopters, or are the early adopters. What do you think? And then their support means that we can ultimately fund the project without having to dig deeper into our pockets. So we're super excited about that. But ultimately, we are open to some additional infusions to get those projects started, because there's so many new opportunities that we're part of the conversation. That's just beyond, you know, households using these products to send their children to school with a great lunch and to take it to work. But there's bigger conversations around how do we look at just breaking the cycle of disposables being ubiquitous in every cafe, cafeteria, airport, quick service, stop. So there's a lot of cool stuff happening. So we'd love to get those projects, and we've started to open up our minds to the possibilities. But really, for us, it would be somebody that's equally as passionate about the issues and has a drive for more of a passion project and wants to see something like this succeed.
Yeah, I think it's really crucial for entrepreneurs. You know, people get lost in the struggle and things like that, and then they view all funding, VC, angel, everything the same. And I think it's really important, as you mentioned, like this drive that you have is, I always try to tell people, you're going to be vetted plenty if you go to take capital from someone. Always vet your investors, you know, never get into bed with somebody that doesn't have a very aligned passion with what you're doing, because it's a bad union. And if you think that the transaction ends at, you know, you taking their capital, it's not true. And you welcome in that third party into that union and having passion like you're talking about behind the core values of the company is imperative. I'm always like, flip the tables, you know, in those investor meetings, be like, I'd like to ask you a few questions about, you know, how you're feeling, where your personal stance is on this. And I think it gives a lot of the, playground of this kind of taker and takey back to, it's a conversation and a dialogue. It's a business transaction. One's not the lesser and one's not the greater. So I like the idea that you kind of brought that up.
Yeah. And we've actually, we've postponed conversations with potential investors because we, A, weren't ready to even have the conversations. Not because we, not because we didn't like the person, or we just didn't think there was a good fit. And so there were some that have approached us, and we didn't even have a conversation because there was absolutely not a good fit. And culture for us is, it extends beyond just our internal team. It extends out to our contractors, our suppliers, and how we express that. So we've been heavily culture focused, even from the very beginning. What does that look like? And it's a culture of, in order to move forward and make progress, you have to stumble, and there will be some bumps and bruises along the way. And so we want to be sure that if we do have some sort of investment or partnership in that way, that those stumbles are not being viewed as, well, what are you doing? Where's my return? As opposed to, you're a company that's based on all of your stakeholder value. And so that consideration takes more time, and it takes more thought, and it takes a lot of consideration for all of the different moving parts.
Yeah. Bully. And good on you for thinking it. And I'm sure that, you know, it reaps benefits in the future when you forecast so steadily as to think that way as well, and to align minds and to kind of, you know, turn down the first offer and the first interested investor. I think that it's a brave and it's a wise step that will pay off later on.
Scary.
Yeah, always.
Also bold.
Best ones are. Scary, bold, all of it. Yeah. It's a universe. You gotta fly in there. What about, let's turn to the goals that you have for Revessel, as well as like future movements out of it over the next 3 years.
Yeah. Speaking of bold, I'm, you know, ultimately the success of Revessel would, be in the way that, you know, more and more people are carrying reusable containers. More and more people are asking in advance when they're getting ready to take a takeout container, hey, can I bring my own? Going out of business would not be so bad. That actually is kind of a conversation that we have, where if we're no longer needed, we've done our job. We've fulfilled our mission. Mm-hmm. And that's not something you hear often. We can then pivot and solve other problems. And maybe that's under the Revessel brand, but ultimately, you know, no longer being needed in that space would be one of them. But ultimately the top mission for us and top goal is to see a shift in the disease trends. Mm-hmm. And looking at the data, you read this in the bio, but today we have 46% of our children that are facing a chronic disease. And it's now not a question of if, but who do you know that has their own chronic disease, or who has a child that's struggling? And seeing this play out, and you know, it's no longer a shock to me when so-and-so's cousin has, you know, cancer, or so-and-so's mom is now been diagnosed. It's no less sad and tragic, but it's not surprising and it's not shocking given the amount of chemicals that we're being exposed to on a daily basis. Over 85,000, I think, is the most current figure that we're being exposed to on a daily basis. So it's, how do we protect our home from those, and how do we reduce the exposure? And yes, we don't live isolated. You know, when so-and-so is sick, it affects everybody. So we really want to get this ripple effect out. And that's actually what the RE in our brand stands for, is ripple effect. So the change beginning in your house and starting to influence your own household, and then that change rippling out, whether it's visible ripples or something that you may not know you've influenced or impacted somebody else in a positive way.
Absolutely. Yeah, it does reach into, it's amazing. I think you're one of the first people I've spoken to that, you know, your the career goals were much more philosophical than I had anticipated hearing. You know, people have these very structured elevator pitches. This is where we want to be in 3 years. And for you to say that, you know, matriculating out of no being needed anymore is fantastic. And it really does give, you know, cause to your ultimate goal, which is, you know, to solve some of these issues that the product was developed out of, which I got a great sense of in person and just reading through your literature. So I want to turn to the final stage that I focus on is if one of your children or a young woman who just come out of college, graduated from Cal Poly, walks up and says, listen, I've got some great ideas. I think I'm going to launch a startup. I care about environment. I care about the human condition, and in so much as like the disease and chronic disease rising, I want to start a company. What are the top three pieces of advice you would give her, given what you know now?
Yeah, that's an awesome question. The first thing that comes to mind is resource up. That is one thing that I think differentiates me as an entrepreneur. Is the, you know, you feel often alone, or you feel like it's all on me to do this. But I don't see Revessel being a company in of itself. I see it being more of a community company. I see it being a company that was built based on the resources that, you know, that were out to support us and lift us up because we shared those values and what was important to us. And it was a shared value for a lot of other individuals. So, you know, we can walk into a space and share what we're all about, and then all of a sudden somebody wants to help. And we want to do that too. So we're all about connecting. We're all about being connected to the right people. And I think that this probably goes along with that, but do something new every single day. Do something that you didn't do yesterday every single day. And that does two things: that, you know, that widens your lens a little bit, shows you what's possible, shows you what's out there, but it also creates a layer of passivated confidence. So there's now a, you know, I didn't realize that me doing something new and it not, you know, killing me or, you know, devastating the company, but doing something new and trying something actually taught me something. So I learned something about that, whether it was a positive thing or there had some, you know, there were some negative things to it. I learned something about it. And I think it's never too early to dream, and to dream big, and to think beyond where you're at right now, but to keep thinking about moving that needle to the neck. But then what? But then what? But then what? So those are my three. And that last part, I think, is really a characteristic of an entrepreneur and makes it difficult for me to be the person that's in the day-to-day doing the day-to-day stuff. I'm constantly, but then what? But then what? Asking those questions.
I agree. So resource up, do something new every day, and dream big. I like those. I think you're right. I think those are things that Titans are made of. And I look forward to seeing, I myself am going to get on the pre-order list because I'm obsessed with your product. I love it. again, anyone looking to check out all the stuff that Jessica's putting out, I'm hoping that your events are posted on your website as well, so people can come down and find you in events in person. Yeah, to actually
follow us on social. That's the best way. Okay. Social media. We've got a blog. We share a lot of the new things, from recipe development curated specifically for the adventure kit. The Explorer kit is on the horizon, so stay tuned for that. That's going to be a wild ride. Nice. On Kickstarter.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I think the, and it's important for anyone who feels like it in the San Diego area or wherever the social says you guys are hitting, really getting your hands on these things takes it to the next level. Like, I can describe things and make you tasty for it, but when you actually see the product, the genius of the design, the fluency, anyone interested in industrial product design is going to love the product. I really do love it. It's the reason I'm interviewing you. I've got a million people to interview, and I insisted on Jessica carving some time out of her day today because I love the product and I really wanted to get her story out there. Thank you so much for taking the time and sharing everything with us.
I receive all of that. Thank you so much for the uplifting words. Thank you for your time and for creating the space for us.
Absolutely. And for everyone listening, thank you for giving me your ear. And until we talk again next time, remember to always bet on yourself. Slunch.